Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden, and this is where we provide fuel for your spiritual journey. We talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. I'm joined by my friend and co-worker, Roger Schaus. Roger, it's good to be in the studio with you on this Friday.
Welcome. We appreciate all of our podcast family joining us this day, and we look forward to sharing some thoughts with you.
Fridays throughout the month of January, hard to believe that the first month of the year is already behind us, but on Fridays in January, we talked a lot about just the heaven-bound concept itself. Heaven is our destination. We're on a journey. That journey, if it's going to be successful, begins fundamentally with being pointed in the right direction. We introduced the idea of the spiritual dashboard, that we've got a fuel gauge that involves things that we put into our hearts. We've got a temperature gauge that shows us the level of zeal and excitement that we have about this journey, but also the output, the speedometer. Are we making progress? Are we accelerating in our walk with Jesus? That leads us now to another little series that we want to spend the month of February, Fridays in February on. Roger, where are we going from here?
Well, we're going to keep this idea of heaven bound, but we want to take it just a little different direction. You know, again, using this idea, this analogy of us in a car, we're driving on the road trip. You can have the fuel in your car. You can have your engine running. You can have the right direction. Everything seems to be going just perfect. Excited about our trip. But along the way, we run over something and we have a flat tire. Flat tires that ruin our trip. And so the month of February, we're going to talk about a few of these flat tires. And what we're trying to do is talk about some tough topics, topics we think are needful, topics where a lot of us are right now, and to kind of consider some things that God has for us. So just kind of outlining where we want to go this month, and we encourage you to come and to join with us in this wonderful journey we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about when a Christian has been hurt by other people, particularly when he's been hurt by other brethren. A lot of us have been there. Then the following week, Lord willing, we want to talk about keeping the right attitude. How do I have the right attitude in a toxic world where I live? A lot of us head to work, and that's a very environment we feel like. We feel like we're Daniel in a lion's den. Third week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about some days I just don't feel like doing what I should do. We know what's right, but we just don't feel like doing it. And that's, again, something a lot of us experience. And then, Lord willing, we'll wrap the month up by talking about there are times I do not take things too seriously. I see warnings. I see something on the road, and I just don't pay attention to it. And next thing I know, my car is into the ditch. And so that's kind of where we're going this month. We're going to look at some things. So today, what we want to talk about, what we want to introduce to you, is this idea of being hurt by others and what that experience is for us.
If I remember correctly, when I moved here in the summer of 2017, I hadn't lived here very long before you hit something in the road. Was that a strip of tire or something
that like was, that? That was called a road gator. Never heard of that before, but it was a dark night. My wife and I were just driving down the highway, and a black piece of truck tire was laying right in the fast lane, and I saw it about half a second before I ran over it, and it damaged the front end of my car, and that was a hazard.
So what a great way of envisioning, I am heaven bound. I have a relationship with Jesus. I am on my journey, and all of a sudden, just right there, I get what we'll refer to in February as a spiritual flat tire. Other people sometimes can create flat tires in our lives. Sometimes the people who are closest to us can hurt us. Roger, what comes to your mind when we think about the wisdom and the comfort and perspective from God's Word? Where would God have us begin if other people have essentially given us a flat tire on the way to heaven?
Let's first of all run through a short laundry list of some things we're talking about, because that's a broad topic. It can mean lots of things to a lot of people. So a flat tire being hurt by other people can be ignored. Everyone's invited but you. You're left out. Sometimes you don't feel welcomed, and sometimes you feel like you are the third wheel, and that can hurt your feelings. Sometimes it's being the subject of gossip. People are saying things about you, and what they're saying is not true, or more so, it's just not kind. And again, it's a flat tire. It can hurt your spiritual journey because you experience these things. Other times, someone has lied to you. They promised you things, they have said things to you, and it just wasn't true. Other times, it's just a generic type of sin. Someone has sinned against you. They have hurt you. Now, when we look in our Bibles, we understand that this is not something new to 2020. This is something that's been going on for a long, long time. It deals with relationships, particularly when we look at the last page of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find the Apostle Paul having three different kinds of disappointments. It begins in verse 10, where he says, "Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." He let Paul down. Paul was counting on him, and he deserted him. Just a few verses later, in verse 14, Paul would say, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds." We're not told exactly what happened there, but Paul, through the Holy Spirit, wanted Timothy to be warned of this person. He was a trouble, and he caused trouble to Paul. But it doesn't end there. In verse 16 of the same chapter, Paul says, "At my first defense, no one supported me. They all deserted me. May it not be counted against them." Where were they? They let Paul down. And so sometimes in life, that's exactly what happens to us. We have been hurt. We are on a journey. We think everything's going right. And all of a sudden, all of this gets sidetracked because the way other people have treated us. So when we look in our Bibles, there are multiple places we can go to describe what God wants of us and the proper attitude we have. And again, the attitude we should see should be manifested by what Jesus Christ has first done to us. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 18, and that wonderful section there that deals with the subject of forgiveness, and that's really what this topic is all about. I have been hurt. What do I do? God wants me to forgive. And right there is where a lot of people stop their journey. I can't forgive. I can't get past this. There's no way I will ever get over this. And that kills their spiritual journey. Their heaven bound has been delayed or sometimes even stopped because of the inability to forgive. In Matthew 18, as Peter came to Jesus asking him how many times to forgive, and he said to the Lord, "Up to seven times," and Jesus responded, "Up to 70 times seven." And then Jesus tells us a wonderful story, a powerful story about forgiveness. It begins in verse 24 when it says, "When he began to settle accounts with them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children, all that he had, and repayment be made. So the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.'" Now, let's just do a little pause there. The Bible says he owed 10,000 talents. That's more than $10,000. That's a lot. But it comes out to being about 16,000 years work of work. That man could not repay that. This was an impossible situation. And when he falls prostrate and asks the Lord to be patient with him, there wasn't enough time in his life to repay this. Verse 27 says, "The Lord of that slave felt compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt." That's the biblical definition of forgiveness. Who lost in that deal was the master. He was owed a ton of money, but he never got it back. But immediately, as the story goes on, as soon as that man was given a second chance, was given forgiveness. He found somebody that owed him 100 denarii, about a third of a year's wages. Not that bad. And he began to choke that man, threw him in prison, and demanded repayment. That man said exact same words as the forgiven man had said, "Be patient with you, and I will repay you everything." When word is returned to the master about how this forgiven slave was so cruel, he put him back in prison until repayment would be made. And his text ends in verse 35 by the Lord saying, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if you do not forgive his brother from your heart."
Having a flat tire is something that you can't really appreciate until you have experienced it. It's one thing for a dad to take a son out in a driveway and theoretically walk him through how to change a tire, but until you've had to do that, maybe in the dark, maybe worst case scenario in the pouring rain or the snow, you don't really know how difficult that is. But maybe experiencing that gives you the sword of compassion to the next time you see someone who could use some help, extending that help. That's what that servant in the parable you've just read fails to do, right? He has been forgiven. In a sense, he has been a flat tire in the life of the master. The master forgives him. And then as this servant who has been forgiven an astronomical amount of money goes on his way, he sees someone who is a small, we could even say a minor inconvenience in his own life, and he hasn't learned the lesson. If I'm going to be forgiven by God, I must have a forgiving sort of mindset. What else stands out to you?
Well, you know, we see this in other Bible examples. We see this in the life of Jonah. Jonah ran away from God, ran away from his commission. And when he was tossed into the ocean and swallowed by that giant fish, that could have been the end of Jonah. God could have said, "I'm finished with you. I'll find me another prophet." God gave Jonah a second chance. But Jonah had a difficult time giving Nineveh a second chance. We see this repeated with the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal son went out there and wasted that inheritance. He came back sorry. The father went out and rejoiced. Where was the elder brother? Outside, refusing to go in, refusing to accept, because he was unwilling to forgive others.
One of the basic values of taking the time to read God's word on a Friday afternoon or a Saturday morning is you learn very quickly, I'm not the first one. I'm not the first person to feel like I'm on the outside looking in. I'm not the first person to be hurt by someone else. I'm not the first person to wish that I had more support than I'm actually receiving. These common human difficulties, they've been around for thousands of years. There are difficult people everywhere in 2020, but difficult people have been around us nearly as long as there have been people. I think where you're leading us is, if I'm going to have the right sort of attitude, the right mindset, it's going to involve a choice on my part.
And that's forgiveness. Forgiveness is always a choice. Forgiveness involves remembering what God has done to us. He forgave us when we were not really deserving of forgiveness. And forgiveness is treating others like God would want us to treat them. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said this, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." That's the attitude, that's the spirit we have when we do not forgive. We cannot move past what was done. We have to tell everyone how we were hurt. We just think about this day and night. It takes away our sleep. It takes away our appetite. All we can think about is how we have been hurt. And we just stay there. And we can't seem to get past those things. That's the heart that will be unforgiving. I like to quote someone who said years ago, they said, forgiveness is like a key that you release the prisoner and you found out that the prisoner was you. But the very next verse, Ephesians 4, verse 32, Paul says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And I think in that passage, the hardest words to really experience and to practice are the just as. Forgive just as God has forgiven you. Stop and think for a moment. How many times in your life do you think God has forgiven you? Aren't you glad it's not like medical insurance where there's a limit or cap? Can you imagine God saying, I will forgive you 7 times this week. After that, you're on your own. Can you imagine God said, after 100 times, you better find another solution. But God continues and continues and continues to forgive us. He's loving toward us. He wants us to be with him in heaven. And Paul's saying here, forgive others just as God has forgiven us.
One of the things that comes through loud and clear to me as I think about the challenge that I have faced in the past, that maybe as you listen to this podcast right here and right now, you realize this is going to be difficult. One of the things that has to be a part of fixing this figurative flat tire and getting back on the road that leads to life, I'm going to need to spend some time in prayer. And I think a lot of times, initially, maybe we think, okay, I need to pray specifically for this person who has caused so much trouble, anxiety, maybe heartache in my life. But could I encourage you even to back up a little from there? Maybe step one is pray for your own heart. Even before you pray about that person, pray for your own heart. In Psalm 19, the psalmist asks, who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. David, we know, had no problem about praying specifically, sometimes by name, about other people who were sources of difficulty in his life. But I love Psalm 19, verses 12 and 13, because he's taking the time to pray for his own heart. And if on this heaven-bound journey you realize that this is a very real obstacle in your life, the way that other people have treated you, maybe spending some quiet, deliberate time on this Friday or this weekend, first of all, praying for your own heart, and then praying about that person. Jesus especially teaches us to do that in Matthew chapter 5. You remember where he says in verse 43, you've heard that it was said to you, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. And pray even for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. It's great to want to be heaven-bound, to want to be a child of the Father who is in heaven and empowering me to be heaven-bound. But if there are people in my life who have created a figurative flat tire, I need to pray for my own heart, and I need to pray for them. I need to be humble enough to realize maybe I've been the source of frustration in someone else's life. And that gets to that humility, Roger, that you were talking about before. Any other examples that stand out to you?
Well, you know, when we think about praying, we need to realize in the big picture of things, as we're considering being heaven-bound, reaching our destination, it may very well be that Satan will put people in our life to try to trip us. And sometimes we may have to put some distance between us and some people because they are not the people that's going to help us. But again, keeping that right spirit, remembering the golden rule, remembering that we have been forgiven, Remembering, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, about the suffering of Jesus. He left us this example, he says. When reviled, he uttered no threats. He did not sin with his mouth. That includes me not gossiping to others about this person who's hurt me. Sometimes we feel justified in doing that. Person A has hurt me, so I'll go tell person C about what they did to me. Well, that doesn't make it right either. Take it to the Lord, take it to heaven, and then to see the steps that you need to do to try to build a bridge and make things right.
And they are practical steps. Maybe it's a small step. Maybe you take one of those first steps today, where you're going to look for ways not just to be able to recite the golden rule, but to practice it. It's a mighty challenge in Romans chapter 12 that is given to us, but it is our calling to move toward, not away from, but toward, and try and find specific ways to bless. Maybe those who have been these flat tires in our lives. The Holy Spirit says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. We're called, if possible, so far as it depends on us, to live peaceably with all, never to avenge ourselves. Leave that to the wrath of God. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Our aim as the heaven-bound is not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. We have been the recipients of grace. We need to be channels of grace to others. Roger, any closing thoughts on this topic?
You know, it's been said in the past that when a horse gets wounded, a horse breaks its leg, they have to put it down. We don't do that with each other. We are the people of God. We are talking about God's fellow creation, those who are made in the image of God. So God expects more of us, and we need to step up and do those things. Great being with you today.
We are heaven bound. That is our destination. That is our way of life. That is our point of focus. And we hope that our discussion on this Friday has helped you, whether you're listening on your way to work or you're doing something around the house. We hope it's a little bit of spiritual fuel to get your mind set on things above. If you have found this podcast episode helpful, we would love it if you would share it on social media. Thank you so much for continuing to help us get the word out. All of our past podcast episodes are freely available at charlestownroad.org. charlestownroad.org. Sometimes there are flat tires on our spiritual journey. We'll come back to consider another one, Lord willing, next Friday. But Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven-bound, and the best is yet to come.